Let's open our Bibles to Mark chapter 14, and our text will begin at verse 43, and let's read from there up to verse number 54. So Mark 14, verse 43, it says, "And immediately while he yet spake, cometh Judas, one of the twelve, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. And he that betrayed him had given them a token, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Take him and lead him away safely. And as soon as he was come, he goeth straightway to him and saith, Master, Master, and kissed him. And they laid their hands on him and took him. And one of them that stood by drew a sword and smote a servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Are ye come out as against a thief with swords and with staves to take me? I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and you took me not, but the scriptures must be fulfilled. And they all forsook him and fled. And there followed him a certain young man, having a linen cloth cast about his naked body. And the young men laid hold on him, and he left the linen cloth and fled from them naked. And they led Jesus away to the high priest, and with him were assembled all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes. And Peter followed him afar off, even into the palace of the high priest, and he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire." Notice there again that first phrase of verse number 54. It says, "And Peter followed him afar off." And we want to look this morning at the subject of following Jesus from afar. Let's pray. Lord, I ask thy blessing upon our text and upon this message and this service this morning. Lord, it's true that in the world in general, we need a revival. In our nation, we need a spiritual awakening. And Lord, even in our church, we need to again be awakened to the truths of Scripture. Again, we need to fall in love with the Lord Jesus Christ and be willing to surrender all for Him. And so, Lord, I pray that You would begin to use the messages that are preached from this pulpit to awaken our hearts to spiritual things, to revive us, Lord, that we might fall in love again with the Lord Jesus Christ as we should. And that we would give all the energies that we can to serve and honor and glorify Him. For it's in His name that I pray. Amen. Again, the subject that I want to look at this morning is following Jesus from afar. I think we understand the context of what is taking place here in this chapter. Jesus had predicted that one of the twelve would betray him. And that's exactly what occurs here in this text as Judas comes with the soldiers and identifies the Lord Jesus Christ with a kiss. And they take him to be tried by religious courts and then by political courts. And when this all occurs here this night, all of the disciples, it says, were scattered. And of course, this is in fulfillment of Old Testament Scripture, because it says, "Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered." And that was a prophetic reference to what transpired here in our text. But, you know, there's also a great deal of application to that passage that can be made to our own lives. I think it's true that many times the devil seeks to attack the leaders of different institutions, whether it be a nation or a family or a church. And the reason he does that is because if he can smite, if he can cause the one at the top to fail morally, to fail spiritually, that other lives will be affected by it. Because I think, frankly, most of us would admit that most people are not shepherds. Most people are sheep. And when Jesus was smitten here, when Jesus was taken captive, when he was arrested, the disciples scattered. And yet it does make reference to Simon Peter following the Lord Jesus Christ, but he was following him from a distance. He was following him afar off. He did not want to get too close to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, there are a lot of people who mirror the actions of Simon Peter. Many Christians, many believers, many saints who you could say in part are following the Lord Jesus Christ, following his or some of his teachings, but they're following him from afar off. They don't want to get too close, and by that I mean they don't want to surrender everything to him. They'll go to church, but they'll not witness. They'll tithe, but they won't separate from the world. They won't do all the things that he says to do. They won't adorn themselves, for instance, if they're ladies, in modest apparel. They don't make a complete separation from the world and from fleshly desires. They follow Jesus, but they follow him from afar. And yet everything in the Bible would encourage us to give Jesus everything we have. The Bible would encourage us to forsake all and follow him, as that's what Luke 5:11 says. If we were to turn back to chapter 8 of this gospel, the gospel of Mark, it would tell us that we should be willing to deny ourselves and to take up our cross and to follow him. And it goes so far as to say that we should lose our life in him. But for many, this would be going too far. This would be too radical, too extreme. Something that many people aren't willing to do. Why do people follow Jesus afar off? Why do they follow him from a distance? Why do they not surrender everything? Why are they not consecrated completely to the Savior? Well, why did Simon Peter follow afar off? Wasn't it the result of fear? Wasn't he afraid of what might happen to him as a result of following the Lord Jesus Christ too closely? Yes, that was exactly the root problem here. It was fear. And you know, on Wednesday night we talked about this briefly as we looked at Proverbs 29 and 20, verse 25, where it says, "The fear of man bringeth a snare." It's a trap. When we fear men, it's a trap that we're surely to fall in. But it goes on to say, "Whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe." And we turned briefly to Jeremiah chapter 38 as an illustration and an example of this particular passage. Because there we have the interaction that goes on between the prophet Jeremiah and King Zedekiah. Now, King Zedekiah was the final king of Judah before the Babylonian captivity. And God reveals to Jeremiah what Zedekiah needed to do in order to protect himself and his family and his nation. And all he had to do was to surrender to Nebuchadnezzar. To just surrender. To raise up the white flag. And to submit to his authority. But Zedekiah was afraid to do that. And why was he afraid to do that? Well, it says specifically he feared what the Jews would do to him who had already been taken captive. He was afraid that Nebuchadnezzar would turn him over to those Jews and that they would kill him for surrendering. And Jeremiah told him, that's not going to happen. Quit fearing men and fear God. But he didn't. Matter of fact, he was still so fearful about what others would think, he told Jeremiah, now when we leave this meeting, this confidential meeting, and some of the leaders of Israel come and say, hey, what did you two talk about? You don't tell them what we discussed. Because I'm afraid of what they might think if you tell them what we discussed. You just tell them that you were pleading for your life, that I would spare it. And Jeremiah did as he was commanded. And in the end, you know what happened? As a result of Zedekiah fearing man more than God, his sons were killed before him, and his eyes were plucked out. He should have feared God. But instead, he feared man. And you know, Simon Peter, in our text, was being motivated by fear. He had a fear of what might happen to him, and he would witness in the coming days how Jesus was treated, how he was spit upon, how he was hit, and how he was put to death. And maybe Simon Peter at this juncture was afraid that if he followed Jesus too closely, what happened or what would happen to Jesus would happen to him as well. You see, I think Simon Peter feared of being out of the mainstream. Look down at verse number 53. It says, and they led Jesus away to the high priest, and with him were assembled all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes. Everybody was there. All the religious leaders were present. The scribes, those that wrote the scriptures, the elders, those that were a part of the council, the Sanhedrin, they were all there. The movers and shakers, the people with influence and power, the people with supposed intelligence, they were all there. We might even call them the establishment. They were all of one accord in their opposition to Jesus Christ. And Simon Peter was afraid to be at odds with this group, to be at odds with those that held power and influence and position. Because to be out of favor with this group, in his mind, would mean negative consequences to his life. And you know, it's true. If you follow Jesus in this world today, afar off, you can still be treated with some level of respect by the world and by the establishment. And by that I simply mean those that are in positions of power and influence. But you better continue to follow Jesus from afar off. You better not be too vocal in your support for the Savior and the Scriptures. You know, an example that can help you understand this very principle is the political climate of the United States. You know, you often hear true conservatives talk about establishment Republicans. And the establishment Republicans are the ones that have influence and power within the party and within government. You know, that's not true of every politician. Some of them are elected and serve, but they're not in positions of power or influence. No, those are the ones that are considered in the establishment. And if you're at odds with those in the establishment, the chances of you going very far politically are limited. And so for that very reason, many people fear men. They fear those that are in power, and they try to keep peace with them by compromising their convictions. They don't want to be out of the mainstream too much. And to some, it's too risky, you know, to reject man-made global warming. Sometimes, and for some men, it's too risky to label our current president as a socialist or a communist. For some, it's too risky to simply state that, biblically speaking, abortion is murder and homosexuality is sin. It's too risky. They fear man. And they fear being out of the mainstream and how that might affect their lives. And so they compromise. And many Christians do the same thing. They have a watered-down, compromised version of Christianity so that they don't seem too far out of the mainstream. And I'm talking about mainstream Christianity. Because those who have power and influence in the Christian realm today are not Bible-believing Baptists, are not separated fundamentalists. And so some fear being too far out of the mainstream, and therefore they don't follow Jesus too closely. They don't support the inspired, inerrant, preserved Word of God, the King James Bible, because to do so would mean you're kind of cultish in the minds of those who have power and influence. To some, it means you're ignorant. And who wants to be called ignorant by the Christians who have power and influence? Some won't make a stand for sacred music and oppose fleshly music because that fleshly music has become popular in churches today. Some people won't practice dress standards. Some people won't hold to a young earth position because that's just going too far. That's too much out of the mainstream. Some refuse to warn against false doctrine and false teaching. Some refuse to take a stand against fornication and drunkenness because they've become so acceptable in our society today. But I think what we need to ask ourselves, are we going to fear God more than we fear man? If following Jesus closely means being rejected by popular Christianity, then so be it. If it means we're out of the mainstream, then so be it. But not only was Simon Peter afraid of being out of the mainstream, I believe he was also afraid of being lied about. Look at verse 55. It says, "And the chief priests and all the council sought for witnesses against Jesus to put him to death and found none." For many bear false witness against him, but their witness agreed not together. And there arose certain and bear false witness against him, saying, We heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands. But neither so did their witness agree together. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? As you see here, man after man lied about the Lord Jesus Christ. They lied about him. They said things that weren't true. And how do you like it when people lie about you and say inaccurate things about you, especially when it's people who have the ears and the attention of multitudes, and you don't, so you don't have the ability to refute it. You know what it causes many people to do? Well, just to keep their mouths closed and to follow Jesus from afar off. Again, I'll say, you can have some level of respectability with the world and popular Christianity if you just tone things down a little bit. If you just don't go too far. But I don't really know how it's possible to go too far for Jesus. Jesus said in John 15:18, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. I mean, how do we expect to be treated if we follow Jesus as we should? And the world hated him. Shouldn't we expect the world to hate us? To mischaracterize us? Because that's kind of what we're talking about here. They were mischaracterizing Jesus. They were twisting his words to say something that he did not say. And that same thing is done with Bible-believing Baptists every day. You take a stand against sin and they call you hateful. And we don't want to be called hateful. Am I hateful? Am I mean-spirited? Am I judging needlessly? Because that's what they will accuse us of. And so many times, maybe we don't do this consciously, but we do it subconsciously, we just start keeping our mouths closed so that people won't be able to use our words against us. We don't want to be called a homophobe, an Islamophobe, a narrow-minded, old-fashioned Bible thumper. I really don't mind being called those things because I know what the world means by them. I hope I am old-fashioned. I wouldn't want to be modern. I hope I am narrow-minded. I wouldn't want to embrace the broad-mindedness of the world and Christianity today. And I don't care if that results in me being unpopular and uninfluential in this world the rest of my life. That's not our goal, is it? To be influential, to be powerful, to hold positions of authority in this world. Or within Christianity. That's not our goal. That ought not to be our objective. Our objective ought to be faithful, to be faithful to God. And we should learn to fear Him rather than man. I believe Simon Peter had a fear of being out of the mainstream. I think he had a fear of being lied about or mischaracterized. And he also had a fear, I believe, of having to bear reproach and shame. In verse 65, it tells of what some did to Jesus. And some began to spit on him and to cover his face and to buffet him and to say unto him, Prophesy. And the servants did strike him with the palms of their hands. Elsewhere, it would talk about how they mocked the Lord Jesus Christ. If you turn to the next chapter in verse number 28, It says, and the scripture was fulfilled which saith, and he was numbered with the transgressors. Speaking of how he was crucified between two thieves. And they that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads and saying, Ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself and come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests mocking said among themselves with the scribes, He saved others, himself he cannot save. Think of what would have been going through your mind were you to witness this firsthand. You would have had to make a conscious decision. Are you still going to align yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you still going to be considered one of His followers in light of what the world did to Him? Recognizing that it's very likely that you suffer the same fate if you follow too closely? We didn't read these verses in our chapter, but 3 times people came to Simon Peter and said, Aren't you one of His disciples? And each time he said no. And each time he said it more forcibly, as he felt like he wasn't convincing them. And it got so bad that he began to curse. Notice verse 71, but he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man. Let that sink in for a moment. What could cause this man who just a few moments ago was saying, Lord, I'll give my life for thee. What happened to the zeal of this man who took his sword and cut one of the soldiers' ears off? What happened? Here he was, so bold, so excited about the Lord Jesus Christ, and now here he was saying, I know not the man. You see, don't tell me that the pressures of society are not real upon Christian people. They most certainly are. And that's why most Christians follow Jesus from afar. Because we're afraid. We're afraid of what people will say about us. We're afraid about what they will think about us. We're afraid of what they might do to us. I mentioned earlier the police officer who was fired for witnessing on the job. The reason it's such a tremendous testimony is because most people, when they're told at the workplace to be quiet, they just be quiet. But he didn't be quiet. And he knew he was going to get fired, but it didn't matter. It didn't matter. Because he feared God more than he feared man. You see, I believe that Simon Peter was afraid that if he followed Jesus too closely, he would bear the same type of reproach and shame that he did. And you know, he probably was right. Because when he got things right, he was crucified like his Savior. And 2 Timothy 3:12 still tells us, And all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And there's really 2 requirements in that passage to meet the condition. You need to be in Christ Jesus, but you need to live godly. You need to live godly. And a lot of Christians say, well, I'm okay with being in Christ, but I think I'll do without that godliness part. That way I don't have to suffer persecution. But you know, persecution is something we should embrace. Jesus taught us, blessed are ye when men shall hate you, when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Jesus said, embrace it. Don't be ashamed. He said in 1 Timothy 4:10, for therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men. Don't be afraid to both labor and suffer reproach. Just recognize that you're doing it for the cause of Christ. And this I like in 2 Corinthians 12:10, Paul said, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. It's at those times that God is able to work, and to work mightily. So why do people follow Jesus afar off? A fear of being out of the mainstream, a fear of being lied about, a fear of bearing reproach and shame. But what will each of us do? How far will we go in following the Savior? Will you allow your fear to determine how far you go in following Jesus? Will you allow fear to determine how closely you are to the Savior? Or will your love for Christ exceed your love for comfort and even acceptance amongst the people of this world and popular Christianity? Folks, when you consider the passage that's before us this morning, stop and think how closely you are willing to follow Jesus. Are you following Him afar off? Or are you following Him as close as you can? Let's pray. Lord, thank You for the Word of God. Thank You for this wonderful challenge from Mark chapter 14. Lord, we look at the actions of Simon Peter, and it would be easy for us to be critical of his behavior without examining our own. Lord, we have not been put in a position like Simon Peter, not at least to the degree that he was. And so, Lord, maybe we don't know how we would respond. And it certainly wasn't just him. The other disciples, it appears, were not following at all, let alone afar off. And Lord, I pray that we would examine our own lives today to see how closely we're following our Savior. And Lord, if there are fears in our hearts and minds that cause us not to do as we should, Lord, help us to set those fears aside. And help our fear of Thee to be so much greater than our fear of man, or our fear of being thought ill of, or fear of being mischaracterized. So God, just take the things that were said in the message and use them in the lives of Your people. And Lord, I also pray that if there's one here this morning that is lost and unsaved, that You'd draw them unto the Savior, that they could be born again. And Lord, just use the message for Thy honor and glory as well. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand with me.